This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. This show contains spoilers, so if you don't want to know, you should
listen.
And
welcome to Sci-Fi Noise. Sci-Fi Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network and can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. You can also just go to deliberatenoise.com and then look for the banner, the banner logo to the Sci-Fi Noise website. Yes, I finally finished that project. I've got a bunch of other stuff on my plate, but that is definitely off. Anyway, I'm your host, Derek Howard. You can send feedback to Derek at deliberatenoise.com. That's D-E-R-E-K. So send me feedback, if you will. You can also go to the website and leave a comment there, because it's a WordPress blog, and the comments, I believe, are open to everybody. I don't think you have to register anything, which means I get a little bit of spam, but I'm pretty good at getting that spam crap off of there as soon as I possibly can. So if you're a spammer and you're thinking about it, think about something else. Go to somebody else's website and ruin their day. Anyway, we're going old school, in case you can't tell. For new listeners, basically going old school means that I'm recording this as I'm driving. I have an errand to run, and I finally got fresh batteries for my Zoom H2 handheld recorder, so why not, you know? Plus, I know a lot of people like to sit in one spot when they record their podcast, therefore they can have their notes and they can have everything all well planned out when they do their shows. I actually find that I get a little bit more distracted when I do things that way, when I sit at the desk and record, simply because I usually kind of second guess myself a little bit too much, and I think, okay, well, this I want to put in, and this I want to make sure that I get in, and so I'm following the notes, and if it doesn't feel right, then I just, I trash the episode unheard, you know? In fact, recently I tried to record a episode of Sci-Fi Noise, Bennett was being broadcast over a Ustream, which is how I usually broadcast a lot of podcasts lately, especially if I'm sitting in one spot. And I just wasn't feeling it. It just didn't feel right to me. So I stopped and recorded a Comic Book Noise, and after I finished that, it still didn't finish right. So I just didn't release either of those shows. That said, when I'm in the car, things may seem a little more scattershot. Some people think that I ramble too much. I mean, it's been like 3 minutes so far, and I really haven't gotten to the point. But to me, it's that click, you know, my mind just starts to go, you know, and I have to make these connections on the fly. I can't stop and look something up. I don't have to worry about my sound levels, because, you know, I checked them and then I start talking. You know, I'm not obsessing about them. I'm not constantly looking at the chat room to figure out if I misspoke or something, or if I got something wrong, or if I want to integrate what the chat room is saying into basically my one-way conversation. And I do that a lot. No, this is just by the seat of your pants podcasting. It's just talking, you know. It's just like, this is the subject, and we're about to talk about it now, you know. And for me, this show, I've already kind of planned out. This was kind of like the show that was trashed. It may be because I know there are no do-backs, there are no do-overs. I can't just put it on pause and then record the next section and then go about my business, that, you know, it feels more satisfying to me. And in the long run, that's really how I prefer the show to be, something that I'm satisfied with, you know, because I've done shows before and I've gotten all the way through and I'm like, wow, that just stunk. And if it's over, you know, if I'm doing it on Ustream, then I'll get people saying, wow, that was a pretty good show. And I'm just like, why are you kidding me? You know, and I don't like to do it that way. But all right, now we're 5 minutes in. This show, I'm going to talk about pretty much two of the earliest DVDs that I bought. And they are, the first DVD that I ever bought was Starship Troopers. Who's that? Paul something or another. I can't remember his name. But it starred Casper Van Diem, Dina Meyer, who I've always liked. I've always liked Dina Meyer, no matter what she's in. If I see she's in the show, then I'm going to watch it. You know, there's this show currently called Scoundrels. It's not sci-fi related. It's really not a very good show. But she's in it. So, you know, I've been watching it. Denise Richards. I think this is like Denise Richards' first really big exposure to a lot of the audience, you know? I mean, because a lot of people didn't know who she was before this, and afterwards, like, hey, that girl's kind of cute, and she can act, you know, relatively speaking. And there's also Neil Patrick Harris, who hadn't yet done How I Met Your Mother. He was still Doogie Howser before he became Barney Stinson. So it's kind of weird seeing him in a semi-grown-up role. Anyway, it's a really good movie. It's basically Starship Troopers is the story of a group but it really revolves around one dude. Johnny Rico, I believe. That's Casper Van Diem's character. He's a high school guy, high school athlete who ends up joining the military, and he goes off to fight these aliens who look like bugs, basically. Now, most people take a look at it and they treat it like it's serious, okay? And some people treat it, you know, as it's just like totally over the top. And I think that for that reason, both audiences kind of miss the point. It is mostly a satire, you know. It's a satire of you know, military movies, you know. Yes, there are a lot of serious elements, like they destroy Rio de Janeiro. They just do a lot of the destruction of Earth, but you know, it shows this guy from his before he joined the military to why he joins the military, training to a few missions, and all the while fighting these pretty really good special effect looking bugs, you know, these giant aliens. And it's kind of difficult to describe. I know a lot of people have seen it and they have problems with it, right? Because it takes a pretty irreverent look at science fiction tropes, almost. You know, that's my new favorite word, trope. You have some people who, you know, as soon as they're introduced, they're destined to die. You know they're destined to die. There's some things that aren't really fleshed out that, you know, some people had a problem with that. There's one character played by Michael Ironside. He is a teacher who later becomes, he was a teacher who was missing a limb. he later went back into the military. And when he got to the military, he was different. You know, he almost didn't recognize Johnny Rico. And that was kind of weird. And some people say, wow, that was just bad storytelling, because you could tell something happened to him. You know, and yeah, you could tell something happened to him. As a viewer, we could see something was different about this guy. But Johnny Rico had no way of knowing that. And this is who we were supposed to be following, you know. A lot of people made a big deal about the co-ed shower scene. And I remember that the I remember reading somewhere that the actors themselves who were in that co-ed shower scene were all pretty nervous, you know, but they had to look like it was casual, like it was no big deal. But, you know, a lot of them were, you know, kind of nervous. And the director, Paul Verhoeven, I believe that's who it was, he I think him and maybe a couple of the cameramen were also nude just to make everybody else feel at comfortable. You know, to feel at ease and to feel comfortable. And, you know, I heard that and I was just thinking to myself, I think this dude just put this scene in there so he could be naked around people, you know. But, you know, it's possible. Maybe not. Maybe so. But it's a really good movie. And the reason I bought it, and, you know, this, I didn't get, you know, I'm not one of these people who got, like, one of the first DVD players, you know. I'm not paying $1,000 for a gadget, okay? To tell you the truth, the last gadget I paid anywhere near that much money for was my computer, my desktop, and I bought that so that I didn't run into the Y2K problem, and that computer lasted me like 9 years, okay? I mean, just to let you know how long I keep my gadgets. Now, I replaced, I think right off the bat, I had to replace a motherboard. And, of course, I replaced sound cards and added hard drives and replaced video cards over the years. But for the most part, I just had the one motherboard, because I once it replaced, because it came DOA, but then once I replaced it, I've only had the one motherboard. And, you know, anytime something went wrong, I just brought the thing back from the dead. And the only reason that I really got rid of it is because I think that, you know, a couple of the fans went out all at once. And by that time, I'd had my laptop, which I didn't even pay over $500 for. Yeah, I got a pretty inexpensive Toshiba simply because, you know, laptop technology really goes really quick, so why get something that you're gonna, you know, get bent out of shape for if you break it? You know, if it's like $400 or $500, you can always buy another. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm not getting an iPad anytime soon. Well, number one, I don't have a job right now, but number two, if it breaks, then I'm gonna be bummed, and plus, I can do a lot more with a $400 laptop than I can with a $400 iPad, you know. Sorry, Apple, but that's just how it is. Anyway, so I didn't have a really expensive one, but the DVD player that I did have cost me about $400, right? And so that should give you a time frame, because I don't even really remember. But it cost about, the DVDs are about $400, and I bought Starship Troopers when it first came out. So that should tell you around the time period that we're talking. Now, I bought it because I was drunk. I'm not even going to lie about that. You know, I had like, got like a lump sum. I want to say might have even been a tax return, right? But me and the family went out, and I was, you know, and Daddy had a few adult beverages, and I was like, hey, we're going to Best Buy. You know, everybody can get something, you know. And the kids were like, oh, cool. You know, my ex-wife was just like, ah, yes. And I said, all right, you know, I'm going to get this DVD player, right? I got the DVD player, and I bought Starship Troopers. I was going to watch it. When I got home, I couldn't connect it to my TV because I had a piece of crap TV. So the next day, I sobered up, and I had to go out and buy a new TV, which, by the way, I still have, you know. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not one of these guys who needs to have the latest and greatest, right? In fact, I just now had an HD TV, and the only reason I bought an HD TV is because that's the only ones that they sell now. I couldn't find anything that wasn't HD. And, you know, I needed a new TV, so why not get something that's going to last a little while? Anyway, So I bought Starship Troopers, and I finally hooked it up, and I watched. I must have watched that movie like two or three times, simply because it was so much better than VHS. You know, for those of you who have forgotten what VHS looks like compared to DVD, if you still have a VCR somewhere, take your VCR, watch a tape that you already have a copy of the DVD of, right? Excuse me. And then you'll just see that the VHS, which was so cool in its day, which was so nice, just looks like crap compared to DVD, right? And apparently, comparing DVD to HD DVD or Blu-ray is even a lot more crisper and cleaner. It's weird, you know? It's weird. Although, what's really, really weird is that now that they have Blu-ray, which is supposedly like the crispest picture you can have now, companies are trying to sell us streaming video, and streaming video does not look as good as DVD. You know, it may compare somewhat a little bit between VHS and DVD, but it doesn't look anywhere near as good as Blu-ray, allegedly. They're just trying to get us so that we have to pay them each time we watch stuff. So that's one of the reasons why I still get DVDs. I should also say, I haven't seen Starship Troopers in years, right? In at least 10 years, you know? So it may not hold up as well, but it still has a good spot in my brain, you know. It still has a place in my heart, I should say. I did see the second Starship Troopers. Now the second Starship Troopers was more of a siege. It was like a battalion with Richard Berge, and they were trying to. They were just basically under siege. You know, they had to sit there and they were firing. There really wasn't a whole lot of CG compared to the first movie. And there was also very little of the humor, of the sly humor, the snarky almost humor of the movie. This one focused just on, like, the military aspect and not even the ridiculousness, the ridiculous over-the-topness of the Starship Troopers movie that made it really funny if you stop and think about a lot of the stuff that they were doing. They kept the action without the intent behind the action, you know? Sort of like there's this movie called Shoot 'Em Up, and that's what it was. It was a shoot 'em up. It was actually pretty much a live-action Looney Tune, you know, Bugs Bunny in certain spots. I mean, that's what it was. It was just over the top. Now, if you take parts of that out of context and you just keep the violence, then Shoot 'Em Up is not a very good movie, you know. But if you keep it in context and you're part of the joke, then it's kind of funny. I mean, it's kind of sick humor, but it is funny. That's how it is with Starship Troopers, right? They took out a lot of the stuff that was like the information overload, shall we say. Because let's face it, there's a lot of times where people are almost bummed out that there's too much information, you know. There are some of us who don't mind, you know. If we're watching TV, we have our laptop next to us, and so it's one of those things like, would you like to know more? And that's one thing that they kept saying over and over again in the movie. You know, they would show something and they go, if you'd like to know more, would you like to know more? And then you click on this thing and it would like open up a different window, allegedly, right? But of course you couldn't do that with a DVD. Well, you probably could now, but back then you couldn't, especially you couldn't do it in the movies, right? They got rid of that type of humor, you know, and that was one thing that really bummed me out about that, you know. And it also bummed me out because there was like an animated show where they would have, you know, Starship Troopers, and they would show, once again, the violence without the humor. They didn't put it in any kind of over-the-top context, so all you had was mindless violence, you know. And so if you ever get a chance to see the Starship Troopers 2, I would suggest you pass. You know, Starship Troopers, one of my favorite movies. Starship Troopers 2, not very good at all. All right, anyway, I've gotten to where I'm going, so I'm going to put this on pause, which I said I couldn't do. but at least it's for a reason, you know. Once again, going old school. So I'm going to put this on pause. I'll come back and I'll talk about the other DVD that I wanted to talk about. Okay, that didn't take too long. No, seriously, it didn't take too long at all. A couple of seconds for you guys, and really only about 10 minutes for me. So, it's not that long at all. All right, now, I want to say this might have been the second movie I bought. Although, at the same time, I think it might not have been. I think the second movie I bought may have been Amadeus. Amadeus is, of course, the highly fictionalized biography of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And the reason I say highly fictionalized is because that movie made Mozart look like a brain jackass when he was not. And it also hinted that Salieri killed him, which was never the... was never really thought when he was growing. In fact, Mozart's son actually worked for Salieri after the death of his father, who drunk himself to death. He wasn't poisoned. So, but it's still a very, very highly entertaining movie. If you've never seen it, once again, check it out if you get a chance. That's another movie I highly recommend. But the other one that I want to talk about, sci-fi related, of course, was The Fifth Element. Now, The Fifth Element is one of those movies that you either love it or you are highly indifferent to it. I have not come across anybody who's actually hated the movie. In fact, oddly enough, the only real complaints I've ever heard about the movie were Chris Tucker's performance. And when I posted on Twitter /friend feed, that I may be in the minority, but I actually liked Chris Tucker's performance, because I did. I thought he was hilarious. A lot of other people agreed with me, you know, because usually when I say something like that, I get people telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe it's because people are more familiar with Chris Tucker now. Maybe that's it, or maybe I just... you know, associate with a higher class of people. Anyway, The Fifth Element is it's a living Mobius story, you know. If you've ever read The Inkle or any other of the stories by Mobius, or even any other kind of French science fiction type comic book, then you know this story, right? There's a great evil / massive object heading towards Earth. There's a secret society who know that this is coming, and they're trying to stop it. But at the same time, there is another group of people who are trying to stop them. And in the middle of it is a basically an innocent guy, you know, almost an innocent bystander. In this case, a taxi cab driver who just happens to have these highly trained commando skills, you know. And of course, they have him. He comes across a very beautiful but deadly young woman, and they come together to save the world, Okay. I mean, that's the story. And there's all kinds of minor characters, other characters who come across. They're not really integral to the overall storyline, but they do play important parts. And one of them, in this case, is Ruby Rod, played by Chris Tucker, who is a DJ of sorts. He's more like I just want to say an entertainment personality. I've never really was quite sure if it was just radio, which seems kind of weird in this, you know, society that has flying cars. They get flying cars, but we don't. Anyway, they have a black president too. But then again, when the world has come to an end, don't they always have black presidents? Welcome, Obama. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah, Ruby Rod. I was never quite sure if he was just a radio DJ or not, but he's really over the top. He's the Chris Tucker character who just like talks a mile a minute. Let's just say he's just out there. He's a character that really cracks me up, right? And when you play his over-the-top wild personality off of the very dry Bruce Willis, it's funny. It's really funny stuff when those two are together. There's Mila Jovovich. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Who plays Lilu, who is the fifth element. She's an alien who comes down, who basically just kicks all kinds of ass and looks good while doing it. All right, and that's pretty much what she does. I mean, that's a description. That is her occupation. She looks good while she's kicking ass. There's Gary Oldman, who is playing the bad guy. He plays Zorg, who is an arms dealer. And not only is he an arms dealer, but he sells some pretty cool-ass armaments, if you ask me. It's like this really huge gun. You know, think living anime, so you know what kind of guns they usually have, you know. Or, you know, 90s-style comic book characters. You know, the guys who were all guns and pouches, one of those type of big guns. This gun had a flamethrower, had a freeze ray, basically. It not only could it fire a bunch of bullets, but on top of that, it had smart bullets so that once it locked in on a target, you could point the gun in any direction and those bullets would still go to the original target. I mean, just really, really cool armaments. And it's you have all these different characters and storylines that intersect to me a very entertaining movie. Now, there's a movie I haven't seen in a while, and then a few weeks ago, I caught it I can't remember. It was one of the HD cable channels, right? I didn't see the very beginning, but I caught it right at the point where Lilu is recreated. Okay, if you've seen the movie, you know there's this creation scene where the technology of the day puts her basically back together. And I watched it all the way up until they got to the when they were trying to figure out the stones, right? And I stopped it because before that is okay. It's really heavily Mobius influence before that. And after that, not really all that fan of the ending, you know. But it was okay, you know. The ending and the beginning were just okay. But to me, it's like the vision behind the rest of it is really good. Now, one thing you notice is that normally in TV movies, and most normally on TV and in movies, the women are all hot, right? But there's something, I don't know, Luc Besson just went out of his way to get some really, really attractive women for this movie, you know. Mila Jovovich is not, to me, the best looking woman in the movie. But she's, you know, it's like, wow. You know, and yes, I'm a dude, and that's one of the things I think about. But hey, yeah, it's just like really, really good. Tricky, the musician, is in it, and he has a very memorable role. I'm Corbin Dallas. Just really, really a good movie. Highly, highly recommend it. Yeah. Now, when I got it, it was one of those things where the one of the selling points was that on one side was the full screen and on the other side was the widescreen, you know. That they had interactive menus, you know. One of those type of deals where you could actually choose what scene to start from, okay? So, I mean, it's like really, really just... both of these movies are really... two movies that I am very happy that I've seen. Two movies I'm very proud to have watched and that I own, you know. If you don't like Starship Troopers, I can totally understand why you might not. That's one of those movies where I can say something that I hate hearing when people say it to me. Is you just don't get it, you know. Because, man, I really hate that phrase. I feel dirty just, you know, I need to go brush my teeth now just from saying it. But, you know, somebody says something like, you just don't get it. You know, it's normally what they're saying is, I can't believe that you don't like this movie that I like. Just say that. You know, don't say you don't get it. Because, yeah, 9 times out of 10, I do get it. I just don't like it. All right? And so I'm willing to make that. To make that concession there, right? If you don't like Starship Troopers, I don't understand how you can't like a movie that I like so much. But at the same time, I can't understand why you may not like it, because it's not for everybody. Same thing with The Fifth Element. Chris Tucker, his performance turned off a lot of people. In fact, I remember people saying that it was like the worst thing in a movie, and that was the one thing that gave it an 8 or a 9 instead of a 10 was because of him. Like I said, I like this performance, so to me, it's a great movie. You know, so if you get a chance, and I know it's in pretty good rotation now on the cable channels. So if you get a chance, watch it, especially see it in HD. You know, I think I'm gonna, you know, polish off the old DVD player, the DVD, and watch it again, because now I have a DVD player in my laptop. Yeah, okay. But yeah, so there you go. There was something else I wanted to mention about The Fifth Element. Huh. Oh, well. Anyway, yeah. With Starship Troopers, there's a lot of stuff that they did not pretty much spell out for you. But you could tell that there was something going on in the background. With The Fifth Element, with them, it's like... you can see how all these different storylines connect, you know. There's this one part where Zorg decides that he's going to lay off a million people, you know. It's just because he could. He's going to lay off a million people. And one of the people that he happens to lay off is Corbin Dallas, which pretty much frees up Corbin Dallas to... that's Bruce Willis's character... to go on the adventure that he goes on, which eventually results in the unraveling of Zorg's plans. So if he had, like, not laid him off, who knows what would have happened. You know, one of those type of deals. So with that one, kind of look for, you know, the ties, right? That's one of those movies that they try to tie everything together, you know. Trying to remember, I don't think there's any wasted scenes. Maybe some of the Ruby Rod stuff they didn't necessarily need. There's one character that they really didn't need. That was the guy who was kind of dressed up like Amadeus, who was deaf. I didn't understand the purpose behind his character, why he was even in the movie. But at the same time, there's a lot of characters in anime who are just there for visuals, you know. And he seems like a guy who was just there to supply kind of a different visual, you know. This movie's the Fifth Element, I'd have to say that it's the visuals for it are a lot more imaginative than the ones for Starship Troopers. But Starship Troopers, at the same time, is no slouch, right? They had to have a bunch of different aliens, and I think that's what they were kind of concentrating on. Aliens that weren't necessarily humanoid, you know? Whereas the aliens for the Fifth Element, they were more of the humanoid nature. So, you know, what they did was the actual not the special effects, but the visual effects, the way everything played out. That was, like I said, a little bit more imaginative than Starship Troopers. But once again, Starship Troopers, it was a movie about the military. It was a satire. They had technologies that they were trying to do. They were trying to show how far military, the socializations in the military were different. I know how they had changed. Whereas, I'd have to say that Starship Troopers, the movie, was a lot more big picture than The Fifth Element. The Fifth Element was taking a hell of a story and telling it very, very well, you know. To this day, you probably see more people dressed up at a con as Leeloo than you do as a trooper, you know. There you go. Anyway, yeah, so there you go. If you get a chance to see either movie, by all means, go ahead and see it. If you get a chance to see Starship Troopers 2, I would avoid it. I will tell you the truth. I think that the cartoon, the Starship Troopers, I want to say the Roughnecks, whatever, I think that, to me, may be better than Starship Troopers 2. Cartoon really wasn't all that great either, you know. So you could just do like me, right? What I wish I had done, which is just watch Starship Troopers and just stop right there, you know. Just stop right there. Because Starship Troopers, I want to say once again, it wasn't a comedy per se, but there was a lot of humor, a lot of dark humor in it that the sequels and the spinoffs just didn't have, you know. However, there's a book, and apparently the book Starship Troopers is nothing like the movie. So I might spend some time reading that, and if I do, I will come back with a little review for that, you know. Because that's one thing I do want to do. I do want to actually talk more about books. Not just, because right now the realm of sci-fi for most people are just sci-fi movie and TV, but there's also books and comic books, you know, stuff like that that I also want to touch on. And I think if I get an opportunity, I will read the Starship Trooper book. Now, most of my reading, I spend most of my time reading novels, yes, but mystery books, you know, mystery stuff like that. Remember the last time I actually read a sci-fi book, but yeah, mystery and fantasy is usually what I read. So anyway, thank you for listening. If you have any feedback, please send it to Derek at deliberatenoise.com. That's Derek. Or stop by the website, which is deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi, and leave a comment and the blog post for this episode. I will be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening to this one. I'm going to see.